if you will listen just a few minutes, I'd like to talk with you and try to share a few things with you in the teachings here tonight. And if the Lord impresses us with something, maybe we might say something that would be beneficial to you and that might would help you. Now, if you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to the book of Revelation with me. Now, I'm going to say something here. When I say this, I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Paul said, if I boast, I'll boast in the Lord. I understand to begin with that we're but mortal beings. And God dwells in us, that we're his temple. But this I say boldly, I say without reservation of heart, I say without calling the statement back, that this is the last message that will go to the world. It is the translation that is taking place. And if you miss it, then you've missed it all. It is not something that I am guessing at or something that I think is going to happen. It is something that I have been informed of God will happen. I've been made to know it. And it is the last thing that God is going to do in the message of bringing in the translation of the church. And it is going to spread around the world. And already it's doing it. Everything else on the field, it doesn't matter what it is, will give way to this one message of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Everything will give away to it for this reason. There has never been any message except the revelation of Jesus Christ. There never was a message except the revelation of Jesus Christ. And there never will be anything but that. And what has happened down through the years is that God has revealed to the ministry in part. And each one of them has received a part of the revelation of Christ, and they built a ministry out of that. And each one of them has continued to spread their ministry and their doctrine until, like the scribes and Pharisees of old, they added and they took away and added and took away until the revelation of the Lord Jesus, what part they did have of it, was completely wrapped up. And as it is spoken in the parables, that though he gave to them a talent, they wrapped it in a napkin and they hid it in the earth. And it got covered up by this dustly man that he took from the earth, got hid away in the intellectual reasoning of mankind, and has never been recovered until this day. But the Bible said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. And that which is perfect is not the sounding of Brother Pike's ministry. It's not the sounding of Brother Branham's ministry. It's not the sounding of Elijah's ministry. Every individual has always had the Spirit in measure and had the Spirit in part. But that which is perfect is the sounding of Jesus Christ himself, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereas in the book of Revelation, it is referred to as the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know it's called the revelation of John, but if you'll read in the first part, it says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So then, it is not my revelation. It is not your revelation. It is the revelation that God gave unto Jesus Christ. And it is a fact that you may have a revelation, and I may have a revelation, and many people may have a revelation, but there is a world of difference between a revelation and the revelation of Jesus Christ. A revelation is in part, but the revelation of Jesus Christ is that which is perfect and that which was to come. So then tonight, I want to talk with you just a little bit if I can. If I say anything beneficial, well, that's good. And if I don't, you just pray for me. Going back again to Revelation 12, we've been staying close in this area because there's a lot to be said concerning Revelation 12. Again, I remind you that in Revelation 12, the first verse, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." That's reading quite a bit. Going back to a little discussion right here, if you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. I'd like to discuss a few things here with you. And what we always endeavor to do in all of our teachings is to take the people back to Calvary. I contend that everything is here in Calvary. Here in Calvary, everything is hid. The story of Noah's Ark is here in Calvary. The crossing of the Jordan is here in Calvary. The life of Joseph is here in Calvary. Abraham's life concerning the faithful is here in Calvary. The 7 seals are here in Calvary. The 7 thunders are here in Calvary. All that God ever did is here in Calvary and should be revealed and will be revealed, because it is the purpose and plan of God that it be revealed to the church. For now is made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God. even the understanding that's in heavenly places. And that understanding is going to translate us into those heavenly places and make us to be a heavenly creature, because it is heavenly knowledge. And the Bible tells us that we're made to sit together in heavenly places. And now it's made known to the church, Paul said, by the revelation of Christ, the heavenly understanding and knowledge of God. So then, going back to Calvary again, I want to remind you that here is the revelation of Jesus Christ. For the revelation of Jesus Christ means the revealing of the Christ from within the inner veil. Now, if you've got a few minutes to listen tonight, I'd like to try to express some things to you, if I possibly can. First of all, coming back to Calvary, we know that this is the door that John saw open in heaven in the book of Revelation. This is that which stands between heaven and earth. And Jesus said, I'm the door to the sheepfold. So then, if we enter into the heavenly places, we have to go in through the door. And the door is the Word, and the Word is Spirit. And if any man climb up any other way, the same as the thief and the robber. If any man go into the heavenly places without the wedding garment, which is the body of Jesus, the righteousness of Christ, then the Bible said he will be bound hand and feet and cast into the outer darkness. So then, we see here a door that's open in heaven. Now, I remind you again that Peter was the one that was given the key to that door. That is the understanding of the mystery of that hour Christ within you, the hope of glory, that he might open the door or make Jesus Christ known as the name of baptism or entrance into his death and his life by means of believing in spiritual revelation, saying upon this rock. Now, to me, it's no coincidence that right at this very night, which is the night the Christ child was to be born, or the day, right at this very time, the Pope of Rome, according to the publications of the paper, the Pope of Rome is opening up a door. And this door hasn't been opened, I believe, in 25 years. The door is being opened by a silver hammer. And this door coming open, to me, denotes that at this very hour, the Pope, believing that he is a descendant of Peter, and Peter having the keys to the kingdom, and that the keys is passed on down to him, to me, it is easy, I'll put it this way, it's easy to see that it is typical of the door that is open at this hour to the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. I said that this year of 75 would be what I call the year. That this would be the year when the revelation of Christ would break forth, and that in this year the church would enter into its translation. It'll begin to move into the knowledge of God and into the translational mind of Jesus Christ this year. It is easy to see, inasmuch as we made that statement, that it is not strange that the Pope, who supposedly has the keys to the kingdom, has declared the year of 75 to be the holy year. He says that 75 will be the holy year. As on earth, so in heaven. But it is a truth fact that everything, typically speaking, is beginning to shape up to show that the tribulation period is now falling upon the people. I had the vision not too long ago where I saw the laws all crossed up. I saw the horribleness of what was happening. And the time element of it was signified by the death of my dad. For I noticed that in the vision, my dad became heavy with sleep and wanted to slip away and take his rest. And I knew that it indicated the death of my dad. And but at that time, I saw the horribleness of that which swept over the world, which could have been nothing less than the tribulation period of God. And I saw the horribleness of it as it swept over the earth. And in so doing, I saw everything turn to powder and became dust, to where there was it, the Spirit of God in the vision had been lifted from the earth. And I know that Dad died just a short while after that. And now, since the death of Dad, we've entered into a horrible crisis. And things is all out of sauce concerning everything. And it looks like everything has become topsy-turvy since the decease of Dad. So then, it is obvious that there is a great change taking place. And I spoke of the year that we're in right now as being the year of the change, where everything would erratically change. And there'd be a change in the government. And there'd be a change in the church. And there'd be a change in the heavens. And there'd be a change in everything. And some of you have not even watched to see if it happened. But it has happened in the government, like we said. It has also happened in the church, the way that we said. And in the observation of the stars, in studying the stars, they notice that some of the stars crossing their orbit, they published it in the paper that at this time it indicated a 7-year reign of Satan, which again brings us back to the tribulation side of things. There has been nothing but prophecies of judgment. There has been prophecies of judgment continually. Men like David Terrell prophesied judgment. William Branham, a great prophet of God, prophesied judgment. Brother Morrow has prophesied judgment, and other men around the nation has continually fasted and prayed and prophesied judgment, and there's nothing left for the people except the judgments of God. The Bible tells us that when we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice but the fearful looking far of the judgment and a fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries of God. And so then the world has come to the knowledge of the truth, and they are rejecting it. After all of these years, the knowledge of the Lord is filling the earth. So then, there is but one outlet that we can have, and that is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the door that is open in heaven, the coming of Christ to the church, and the way of escape. For Jesus said, I am the way. The way of escape that God is making to the church at the time that the prophets are prophesying judgment upon the earth. There is some that must escape, and that is the church. So then, by way of remembrance, Peter said, I stir up your minds, putting you in remembrance of the coming of the Lord. Tonight, or today, signifying the birth of Jesus. So then we go back to the thought of the man-child. Notice this one thing now. Calvary is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It was just a few short years after 33 AD when the Lord surrendered his life at Calvary. Just a few short years, about 96 AD, that the beloved disciple called John was put off on an Isle of Patmos that God might revelate to him what had taken place here at Calvary. Just a few short years later, that God completely unveiled to John what had transpired here at Calvary, and it was called the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we refer to it today as the book of Revelation. Now, I want you to see this, folks. The Old Testament belongs to the Jew. I think most of you will agree to that, that it's the law. And we're built upon the law and the prophets. The New Testament belongs to the Gentile people because it tells of the grace of God. And the grace of God to the world is the only means by which they can continue to survive. Otherwise, God would have to destroy them off the earth. That's why the Pope of Rome is held up as the descendant of Peter, offering the days of grace to an undeserving, sinful generation. But there is another book, and that book is called the Book of Revelation, that is distinctively different from all the rest, and Bible scholars through the years have shied away from it. The reason is because they could not understand it. But it belongs not to the Jews, nor does it belong to the Gentiles, but it belongs to the church of the living God. It is the revelation of Christ and that which must translate the church into the oneness of God and into the heavenly places. So then at this time, we are entering into the book of the Revelation. John, seeing what had taken place at Calvary, wrote or recorded the great transition of God and the things that had happened at Calvary. Could you imagine that so many things took place at Calvary that John had to write them in a book? When you look at just one simple crucifixion, what John wrote in the book was only a fraction of what was really made known at Calvary. For here, everything is comprehended from eternity to eternity. That which was, that is, and that shall be was in Jesus. For he was the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of God. He was the fullness of the Spirit of God. So then John, 96 AD, he recorded what had taken place. There had been a door that had been opened in heaven. And this door was Jesus, the sheepfold door. And the door that had been opened was the rending of the veil. Now, we have gone into a lot of things coming all the way from the garden up to Calvary. And there's many, I guess it's got into the hundreds of tapes now. Into the hundreds of tapes that have been recorded from the teachings of the revelation of Jesus Christ that Brother Taylor and the others has put away. But I want to dwell tonight on the three-dimensional steps of God. Now, I can't nothing like bring it out tonight because we wouldn't have time. But I'd love to just bring in a few thoughts and lay a foundation for something that we might bring out at another time concerning this. Notice the one thing is that in Revelation 12, where the man-child is coming forth, it denotes a certain age, a certain period of time, and through spiritual understanding, and by spiritual revelation, God has let me know that this period of time that we are living in is the period of time that is spoken of concerning Revelation 12, and that it is the hour of the birth of the man-child. You say, where do you get that? Well, just make a few comparisons. Here is Calvary. What is Jesus likening to? A woman. Why? Because the flesh is referred to by God as a woman. So then here at Calvary, what is Jesus referred to? The head of a woman. You say, how do you see that? Because Israel is referred to as a whorish woman. And here he has made the head of the nation Israel. It was even put over the cross that it was the king of the Jews. And though they wanted it changed, yet Pilate refused to change it. He said, what I've written, I've written. But here is the woman. A woman that has received the seed of her husband, the Almighty God. Here at Calvary, we see a woman in her travail going through the travail of Calvary. And here we see this woman with her feet upon the moon, as John recorded, and the 12 stars upon her head. Now you say, where do you get that? Because the Bible said that the church, which is the woman, that we are founded upon the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. And the moon is the lesser light, which denotes the Jews, the prophet of the Old Testament. Whereas grace is called the greater light, for it's referred to the earlier light as being a former light, but the latter light of grace as being the light of the world, saying, "Ye are the light of the world," which is the sunlight. So the law is only a reflector of grace. And here is the woman having the 12 stars, which is the crowning of eternal life, the teachings of the 12 apostles upon her head, denoting the mind that's covering her here. Standing on the moon, and the Bible said, as John saw the revelation of Calvary, that she was clothed with the sun, which is the Shekinah glory of God, Jesus being made heir to the glory of God. So the woman is in travail. This Jesus, the head of a nation, Israel, is bringing forth a man-child. And the man-child that's being brought forth was in Jesus, the same as it is in you and in me. Paul said, "I travail till Christ be formed within you." It was Christ in Jesus that took the fleshly part of the body to Calvary. And after the travail that came forth, as I brought out the other day from the bowels of the earth, the Christ, which Christ, the Bible said, when John saw the revelation of Calvary, he said, as soon as the man child was born, it was caught up to the throne of God. It is obvious that when Christ came out of the earth, that he was immediately caught up to the throne of God and sit down in the throne with the Father, being accounted for as at the right hand of God. And this man child does not return until Revelation 19, where he comes back with the membership of his body. But Jesus died as the fleshly part with the membership of his body, which was the Jews, a scapegoat that went in the wilderness, away from the knowledge of God, dying out of the presence of God, that a spiritual Jew with a Christ head might come back later and pick up the human body in Revelation 19 as a garment dipped in blood. So then, putting the garment off, as Joseph did, when the woman laid hold on Joseph, and she tried to get Joseph to commit the evil act of adultery, of fornication, against the master who had entrusted him with all things, the Bible said that Joseph, being loyal to his master, he rent himself out of the garment and left it hanging in her hand. The woman, being the adulterous world, laid hold on Jesus, but before the Christ that wore the garment called Jesus would commit fornication with the great whore that sat upon many waters, he rent himself out of the garment and left it hanging there in her hand. And so that he wound up in prison, as I brought out the other day, and soon the Joseph that went down into prison, as you know the story stated, soon he had the keys, and they entrusted him with the keys and the power of control there in the prison. The same Christ coming up denoted the man-child. Now there's a lot that could be said about this, but we went through some of it, and I'm going to try to move on over just a little bit to try to clarify what I'm trying to say tonight. Here we see that the man child was born. Now, everyone that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ or the death of Jesus has so become one with the Lord that they are crucified with Christ, buried in the same grave through the name of baptism, losing their identity of the old Adamic nature through baptism, coming up into a brilliant world of light and a heavenly place by means of the resurrection of the spiritual Christ within you, the hope of glory. Coming up out of the grave into a new world, all things having passed away, and behold, all things are new. And your body being considered dead by baptism, inasmuch as they that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ, which is the wedding garment. For he that knew no sin was made our sin, that we might be made the righteous body of Christ, which is the wedding garment that is accepted to clothe our inner spiritual man. So then, coming up into the new world, we have been placed under tutors as a child until the time appointed of the Father. And though we be Lord of all, yet we differ nothing from a child, because we are still under tutors. But most of you know the old Jewish custom is that when the son reaches a certain age, they take him out and publicly set him before the people, and they have a public ceremony, whereas the father tells the people that I now accept this man as my son. And in so doing, everybody publicly knows that he has the power to execute different things concerning the father, and the power to take over his estate, and that he has become heir at that particular time to do whatever he would concerning that which is the Father's wealth. This is the public ceremony. Folks, we are now approaching the very time of the public declaration and the public ceremony to state that we have matured and become eligible to take over our Father's wealth and to take over the heavenly places. For the Bible said the saints shall rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. The whole world tonight is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God to set everything in order and to usher in the great millennium and to bring in the new government. I think all of us will admit at this time that it is the hour of the birth of the man-child. To look at it, what is it? The woman coming over here to America, having a 13 colonies. Remember, Paul also came into the apostolic thing here that we speak of. America coming in as the woman nation, at this hour having a foot upon the moon. At this hour, this woman had been arrayed in the glory and praise of all nations as being the head of the nation. And right now she's in a great racial conflict of travail, and all nations in this Laodicean age is wanting their rights. And it's just a racial conflict and a tribulation that's coming upon the world to bring forth the man-child. And while the Western world, which is the woman, goes down in a racial conflict of bloodshed, the child is born to spiritually be caught up to God over to the eastern part of the world by overriding the tribulation, just as those that were in the ark overrode the tribulation to ride over the tribulation, the man-child being caught up to go over the tribulation, to sit down in the throne in the millennium to rule heaven and earth. It is a true fact that once the child is born, the father can't hardly wait to get in there to get it up in his arms. And so then God catching the man child up, just as quick as it's born, he can't hardly wait to see the Christ that's in you when it comes to its formation. So then he's waiting impatiently, eagerly. He's looking forward to the hour when he can catch the man child up. The Bible said that the woman went away into a wilderness as John beheld the revelation, as it was made known to him, the revelation of Jesus Christ, as he began to understand the things that we're speaking of tonight concerning Calvary. The Bible said that the woman went away into a wilderness. Right here, John said that the red dragon lay before the woman, ready to devour the man child as quick as it was delivered. Now, some of you understand what we brought out about the bloodstream and what it had to do with the red dragon. So we're going to bypass that. But coming to types and shadows of our day, look at communist China, Russia, red communist China, which is the dragon nation, laying in there, right around the moon. Russia having reached the place just like America, laying in there waiting to devour the man child. In the typical sense, the man child would be the papacy of Rome, which would be the religious leader of the world. But China hates priests, and they've been known to bury them alive. And so then they're waiting. You know, I made a prediction that communism and Catholicism would unite together. And you remember right after I said that the Pope and the leader of Russia would come together, the papers published that they had a meeting for the first time. So then they came together. But the Bible said that the clay would not mix with the iron. Is that right? And you know that Rome, all of the symbolic sense of Rome is iron. Her iron chariots, her all that she's ever had in fighting in the arenas, the armor that she used was iron. She's been known as the Iron Nation. That also means that America is nothing more than the powers of Catholicism and will soon come under the beast, inasmuch as the whole world wondered after the beast. So then, Russia, which has to do with the clay pot, they are going to team up together, both working in an undermining way to try to get control of the world. Now, how many remember the tape that we made concerning Daniel's visions and the four winds wrestling over the waters? You remember that? We brought it out of Daniel and brought it over there to where the Jews were sealed and showed the angel holding back those same four winds. There. How many remember that? All right, now, so then it's obvious that the woman has her foot on the moon. It's obvious that at this period of time, the red dragon is waiting to devour the great Superman of the age. It is evident that inasmuch as everything in heaven has a natural parallel, that we can see that if these things are naturally taking place, there are spiritual things that's also taking place. And God, through the natural types, is unveiling to us the spiritual revelation of Jesus Christ. For that which is in the veil. Paul, after many years of studying the law, he did not know that it was types and shadows until God took him away for about 3 years in the Arabian desert. And when he got out there, God literally unveiled all that Paul had ever learned. And he came to understand that Sarah was a type of New Jerusalem. And he spoke of those things back there as being types, shadows, and allegories. And spoke of the revelation that the spiritual part which came forth as those shadows and types made it known to our mind that spiritual part that came was called the revelation of Jesus Christ, that which was hid within the veil. So then when Jesus was crucified, it meant that the types, shadows of all that had been veiled within the beast's mind, the glass darkly, the veil that's still over the minds of the people is taken away in the revelation of Christ, that veil having been rent, that we could go beyond the veil, which was the type and shadows, into the mind of Christ, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ, the heavenly places, which is the third dimension. Look at the three dimensions right here. The Old Testament, here they are, the outer courts, and then the inner courts that's called the holy place. And then the innermost court that's called the holies of holies. So then, notice this one thing now. Here is the outer courts. This is the first heaven, or the first dimension, inasmuch as Paul said that he was caught up to the third heaven. Here is the first heaven, right here. The outer courts, the law, God with the Jew by means of ritualistic practices. God, wherever he is, that is heaven. That's the first stages of heaven. That's the first dimensional reviving concerning God and man. Now I want you to get this tonight if you can. Notice this, that when man was placed in the garden right here, Brother Taylor's got it drawn on the board, when God put man in the garden, he knew that man here would be in the presence of the Shekinah glory and not be born of the Shekinah. He knew that man did not have eternal life, for he had not given him eternal life. He had placed him in the presence of eternal life. As long as he remained in the presence of the Shekinah glory of God, then he could live eternally. But if he was ever enticed out from under the protection of the Shekinah, he would have to die. And when he listened to the beast that got in through his wife, then he was led away from his steadfastness in God, led out from under the Shekinah glory of God, and the faith that he had died. Man shall live by faith. When his faith died, he couldn't live. So then he died. Now, God did that to make man into a God. He said, now man's become one of us, as one of us. He knows good and evil. He's become a God now. Now he'll have to put forth his hands and partake of the tree of life so he can live forever. And God knew that at the expulsion here in the garden, that he could not let man get a hold of the tree of life while Satan was dwelling in the temple that God had made for him himself to dwell in. Because if Satan could have gotten to the tree, Satan would have caused man to live forever, and Satan would have been inside of the temple, and God's whole plan would have been ruined. So then he put up the flaming cherub to turn every way to keep man away from it. And there was only one way that man could get back to the Shekinah glory of God, which was the tree of life. And that was the beastly part, which was the beast intelligence here, had to pass by the flaming sword of the word of God and die, accounted as sheep with a slaughter. It had to die. Jesus did this for us here by receiving the impacts of the wrath of God upon the beast, being made sin, that we might, through faith, by divine transformation, go through the stages of evolving from our primitive life of rejection and expulsion from the garden, continue to evolve until we evolve by faith into the perfect stature of the full measure of Jesus Christ. So he started us off here. For many years, there was no guide. For many days, man walked in his own way. For hundreds of years, men did as he wanted to. Paul said, I was alive without the law until the law came. Then when the law came, sin revived and I died. I got a knowledge of sin and God required it of me. And I got under the penalty of death. So then the law was typical of the tree of knowledge. For knowledge brings us to death. That's what's going to destroy the world. The increase of knowledge in the end time will destroy the world. Solomon said, why? Why? Overlearn. Why? Get too much knowledge and destroy thyself. He said that you would destroy yourself. So then, notice this. The expulsion from the garden caused one thing. The expulsion from the garden caused man to be completely out of the presence of God. Now, to make a man into God was the whole plan. For he said, come, let us make man in our own image. Today, the Holy Spirit desires to take a man, and by the aid of the angelic powers and the sons of God, take a man and make him into a God image. That's what happened to Jesus. He was the man, Christ Jesus, and God made him flesh, but he made him into God, and then turned and said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. Ye are bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Everyone that be perfect shall be equal with me. No man shall be above me. Paul said it's not robbery to be equal with God, in that we're sons of God. We're his body. We're his temple. We're his image. We're to overcome and sit down in the throne with him. For heaven is his throne, and there's plenty of room for us to sit down in the throne and to own all things. He that overcometh, I'll give him all things. And I'll withhold no good thing from them that walk upright before me. He'll own everything. Paul said, everything's yours, whether heaven, earth, things that are in, power, death, life, whatever, it's yours. I noticed the expulsion from the time that it started. Here, God had to come down and set up some means of getting acquainted with man. The first steps of it was the acknowledgement of God through the law or ritualistic practices. That was the first heaven. Now then, since the fall, God had at last returned to mankind in a primitive manner. The first heaven was then set in motion. God was again with man. He walked with Israel. He walked with Elijah. Brother Taylor sings that song, you walk with Elijah, Lord, walk with me. As you walk with Moses, Lord, walk with me. And so the first dimensional powers of God started. This is considered the outer courts. When John saw the revelation, it spoke of it after this fashion. It said, measure the temple. We're the temple. The gospel is the rule. Take by the gospel rule and measure the temple. See if we measure up to the fullness of stature. Measure the temple and measure the altar. And Paul said, we've got better altars, which is in the heart here. Measure the altar, but the outer court, which signifies the unredeemed body, which means the Jewish nation. Leave it alone. Don't try to measure it, because they are cut off in ignorance, and there is no way to measure them according to the gospel, because they are beloved for the Father's sake, and God is overlooking what they're doing at this time. They are in ignorance to sin, to know to do good, then it's sin to you. Paul said the greatness of God having blinded Israel to have mercy on them. So then, the first stages of the outer court, which was heaven, was on. Now look at this. This outer court extends all the way up to Calvary. Now, what is Calvary? Can you see it? Calvary, in the first part, which is the outer courts, in the first part, and if you're not acquainted with this, we got tapes where we teach and go through the courts and break it down and tell the furniture and the measurements and everything, just as God inspires us to do it. It's all by his understanding. None of it was written down. We brought it forth by inspiration, and every bit of it is there, every jot and tittle. But notice the outer courts here. The outer courts is that with the outer courts, you find that inside was the big brazen altar. And we've got some teachings on that. It tells all about it and what it means and everything. But what was the big brazen altar? It was that which the lamb had to be sacrificed on. Is that right? So then we see in the Jewish age, Calvary, the big brazen altar. It's in the outer courts, the Jewish part of it. The big brazen altar. You say, where do you get brazen? How do you remember that Moses lifted Jesus up as a brazen serpent in the wilderness? The big brazen altar that God sacrificed in the evening time of life, the lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish upon. He did this to give Adam and Eve, they that have been kicked out of the garden, so to speak, or put out of the garden, they had to receive skins. And the skin was to be a lamb's skin to take care of them. That's why we're in human bodies. It's skin. But some of us are lambs. Others are brute beasts. We're bone of the bone of the lamb. Flesh of the flesh of the lamb. Killed all the day long as lambs that's led to the slaughter. The big brazen altar. Here is the first dimensional step. It would take a long time to go into this. But let's just drop over right hurriedly to the second one. The second dimension. Now remember, God among man, inspiring his knowledge and understanding, he has started his stages of evolving. He is evolving from a primitive mind to the God mind. And so he's in the stages of evolving all the time. He's ever learning. So here he is evolving. From the first heaven he evolves. The next stages of man's mind and development begins here at Calvary. The first was the water age, the world of vegetation, the life of all the living vegetation, which was the water deluge, three bearing witness in the earth, the water, blood, and spirit. That was the water. The next age was a blood age, which was a physical age, not an earthly age, but a physical age, and the life of all human anatomy is blood. So it is called the second heaven. This is the heaven that Satan was in and the woman was in when the travail took place. Because the second heaven is the New Testament of his blood, which is the days of grace. And so then in the days of grace, the church was in the second heaven. And the people of our day had been in the second heaven. And the woman had been in travail with fasting and prayer. And she's been bringing forth a man-child. Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. She's been bringing forth a man-child all down through the church ages. She's been bringing forth a man-child. Now, this second age, which is grace, is accounted for as the inner court, not the innermost court, which is the holies of holies, but the inner court, which is called the holy place, the place where the priests eat. Let's see if that'll bear out in Revelation. Look, from the time of Calvary, what kind of age is it? It's a Catholic age. What is a Catholic age? It's a priest age. Why? Because the second court was where the priests went. Does it bear out in the second court? What was it? What was the second court? The second court was that there were seven candlesticks. And the seven candlesticks that sat here was over against 12 little cakes. Six here, six here. In the second age of grace, what do we find? We find the priesthood, the powers of Catholicism. We find the seven church ages, which is the candlesticks. We find the 12 little cakes, which is called the bread of life, the teachings of the 12 apostles. We find the candlesticks throwing the light upon these teachings, our little cakes, down through the age. Why? Because it is the second heaven. It is the second court. It is man still evolving. Evolving from his primitive states, moving into the mind of God. Now, there is a lot that could be said about the second stages. I just wish we had all night just to go into it. But notice this. We cannot stay in the second stages. Man is still evolving. In the second heaven is where the woman is. And the second heaven is where the dragon is. Notice this. Satan being in the presence of God in the days of Job. But the Bible said in Revelation 12 that after that the child was born, that Satan was cast out of heaven and the woman went away into a wilderness. It does not say that the woman went out of heaven. It says Lucifer went out of heaven. Now, why is that? The reason for it is because the woman remains in the presence of God and in the grace of God after that the days of grace is over and the blood comes off of the mercy seat. In my, there's a lot to be said about that. But Lucifer, he can only be in the presence of God while as yet he has a human being or a subject to dwell in. That's why that John, looking at the age of grace as being heaven, looking at the people as being stars, some of them filled with the light of God and relative to the sun, which is a star itself, full of light, others being in the Shekinah glory of God, not being born to the Shekinah as the church or the second Adam was, Jesus Christ, they're only reflectors that reflect other people's light. And when the days of grace is over, they automatically fall out of the presence of God because they are reflectors as Adam in the presence of the Shekinah. But we who are born to the Shekinah glory of God, of the second man Adam, we remain in the presence of God. So then when the days of grace is over, Satan can no longer be in the presence of God. That's the end of him. He goes out of the presence of God because the days of grace, that stages of heaven is over. So then he is excommunicated from God. He cannot live in the presence of God because the rain can then no longer come on the unjust. The days of grace brings the Shekinah on the unjust. As long as the unjust can have the presence of God, then they are considered wandering stars that are in heaven. And Satan can be on the inside of them and be in the presence of God because man is allotted a certain time from God having mercy. But the day that God brings us to the knowledge of the truth, then if we don't obey it, the days of grace is over. Because grace is only for them that don't know. After that, God can give no more grace. There means no more sacrifice for sin if you come to the knowledge of the truth. So then, the fallen stars or the wandering stars is cast out of heaven and Lucifer goes out of heaven with them. But the woman only goes into a stage called the wilderness, still remaining in the presence of God, born of the Shekinah glory. The man child being caught up to the throne of God, what does it mean? If the woman is in the second dimension, or if she is what we call in the second heavens, then there has to be another place. Now this is where people missed it concerning the William Branham ministry. Not understanding Christ and the revelation of God, this is why that I predicted Brother Branham's death in the early part of 65 and the falling away of Old Roberts in his old age and the death of A.A. Allen at the time that we come from over yonder in Mississippi, because everything showed to them. It showed it at that point. That's why the prophets of old, the word of the Lord came to the prophets, and the prophets of old predicted the future and spoke of the future because they understood by revelation. And the Bible speaks in the end time of the Holy Ghost showing you things to come. All right. Notice this, Brother Branham had a vision, and in the vision, he was caught up, and he saw the ladies in the long dresses. He saw this because God said, "Son, would you like to see beyond the veil?" He said, "I would like to." God took him beyond the veil. Now, why did God take him beyond the veil? I want you to listen now. Why did God take him beyond the veil? Why? Because Moses was inside of the veil with all of his operation because he had never crossed Jordan. Brother Branham was still inside of the fleshly cycle of denominationalism and of human reasoning concerning spiritual things. So he was within the veil to be able to see over into Canaan. God had to take Moses up on the mountain and let him see, because God knew that his followers would never go in. They would die in the wilderness. So then God also knew that the followers of Brother Branham would not go into the revelation of Jesus Christ. Every champion of every age dies, and every person that has raised up a leader or a proper child of the age, his following dies with him, because they have to be judged according to his teachings. Now, God always, as with Luther, Wesley, every other move, Moses, he sifts and he brings out the children of the message. Those that's just got enough to know that God's in there and they've not got indoctrinated with the other. Now, no man having drank old wine will straightway say the new is better. You have to let him sip on it a little bit. So then, God judged Brother Branham faithful, and he let him see beyond the veil. What was that beyond the veil? What is the veil? The glance darkly, the human concept of religion, the types and the shadows. So then, Brother Branham, you've attained to a great height according to your age. But Jesus is up a little higher. Alright? Now look at it. Where was the man-child caught up to? He was caught up to the third heaven. He was birthed in the second heaven, which was the second dimension, and then caught up to the third heaven. Jew, first dimension. Catholic, second dimension. That's why Brother Branham's daddy was a Catholic. That's why Brother Branham wore that cross around his neck all the time. Protestant, third dimension. Now, I know them's only types, just to get us a thought pattern formula. But notice this. The man child went into the holiest of holies. At Calvary, when Jesus was born, he rent the veil. And the veil was rent in twain. And they thought, the Jews being natural minded, they thought that that was the veil of Moses, because it was a type. And they thought that that's what had happened. And when Jesus said, destroy this temple, speaking of his own body, saying that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, he said, I'll raise it up in 3 days. For he made it himself both, twain, two, Lord and Christ. Here the temple's writ in twain, two. The separation of the Lord and the Christ. Jesus the Lord that died with the Jews. The Christ coming to be the spiritual head of the church. Is that right? He said, I go away, the world won't see me, I'll come back to you. You'll see me, and I'll return the second time without sin unto salvation, they may look for me. So then, and there's a lot to be said about that, but so then we see that he was caught up because one time a year, Aaron, which typified the man-child, he alone went into the presence of God, into the holies of the holies, to offer the blood of that lamb one time a year. The Bible said that Jesus went in once and for all, offering his own blood, entered into the very presence of God when he was caught up here to start his priesthood work. Is that right? That's a lot could be said there. But notice this. I'm looking for a place to close. It'll take me just a few more minutes and I'll close here. But notice this now. Jesus going up to the throne. You've heard me say this before. That Aaron went into the tabernacle. But Aaron was only a type. That third place that was called the Holies of Holies, which was the Ark of God, which was the tabernacle. All the people kept looking at the little tent. But God's tabernacle was Moses. Moses was the tabernacle. It was in the wilderness. God was in Moses. That was only a type. He was just drawing the people's attention to that down there. But God was in Moses, working in Moses, making him a God to the people. That was where the Ark of the Covenant was, God in Moses. Always has been God in the man, always, the prophet or whatever it was. So then God, laying the shadows and types down, here the man-child was caught up into heaven. Is that right? Up into the third dimension, which was up into heaven itself. For the Bible said that he has gone up into heaven. Into heaven. Jesus was caught up into heaven. What is the third dimension? How many of you know that they call this age we live in the third dimension? The third dimension, the evolving. What is the types of it? The Old Testament, the water to the Jew. This New Testament, the Catholic, the first pope, saying Peter was the first pope, the second dimension, right here, the Catholic age. The third dimension in its type, the Protestant age. That's why that Washington is called something that is different from all countries in all of the United States. It is not a state. Washington is a sovereignty that is typical of the Holies of Holies. If you don't believe it, look at this. There is first Washington, D.C., where the White House is. It controls the world, the head of the nations. The next step of it is the inner courts, which is the United States. The next step of it is the outer courts, which is the United Nations. And anything outside of that is considered dogs. And you'll find out that the Antichrist, when he comes, he'll be that high priest type of Jesus that'll take over that system and reject the world. That's the reason he tried to get China to come into it. How do you know I said that China and him would reject him because the yellow man would receive it? How do you know that Japan rejected Kissinger when all the rest of them went along with him? In other words, here's what I'm saying. That the Protestant age is the religious age. It's the age that was considered the Holies of Holies. It was never in the United States that blood was spilt. It was always in the United Nations, in the outer courts, saying that they are brute beasts. Speaking of people, the wars always took their lives in other countries. And their blood, the report of it, was always accounted for in the religious system of the Catholic martyrology. Is that right? Which is the priest that brought the blood in, the sacred courts. Is that right? But the third, that's the religious part that has been that would evangelize the world. Now, I want you to look at this. I can't go into that anymore. I'd love to really go into it, but I can't go into it anymore. But I just want to get you a continuity of thought. But I want you to get this now, closing out. If the Lord, which is Jesus, has actually been caught up from the second heavens, the woman with her feet on the moon, the Superman, which is Kissinger, the king of the nations, the answer to the problems. If at this time, the tribulation period, that is to say, that they have seen the stars in the heavens at points to 7-year regime of Satan, that at this time the crisis, the beginning of sorrows, which is tribulation, begin to set in, that if this is it, the revelation of John coming at this time, The revelation of Paul, he was born out of season, that's coming. If this is the mystery of the church that is to be revealed, if Brother Branham closed out the church age as they say that he did, and now this is the unveiling of the masterpiece where we go and take the kingdom ourselves, because the voice said it's John, you'll forerun it, Brother Branham. If he actually forerunned it, and now this is actually the man-child, then it is a true fact that the man-child, which is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, has been caught up into the third dimensional mind, which is the mind of Christ itself. For the first mind was the beast. The second mind was man's mind. And the third dimension is God's mind, which is the spiritual mind that's being revealed. And if we have been caught up into the God mind, it is the translation of the rapture. Now listen real good. Everything orbits around the sun. That means that God is the Word, and all humanity orbits around the Word. According to your believing, you have been changing dimensions. Every generation coming down through the ages have been changing dimensions according to their believing. For justification is by faith according to the atonement that's already been made. That's why that it is so necessary, or as the world would say, absolutely imperative, that you keep a clear conscience. Paul said, void of offense toward man and God. For if we are evolving around the Word, and we are being changed into an image according to our believing in the Word, inasmuch as in the beginning the Word created all things, and the Word is the same this day. It creates, it heals. He sent His Word and healed Him. He sent His Word and cast out the unclean spirits. He spoke the world into existence by His Word. His Word in all ages is unchanged to every generation, and faith in it is what makes you. When the minister speaks, it's not him speaking, but the Word. According to your faith, He remits your sins. If it is a true fact that faith in the Word is in this last age, we say 6 days of labor, the millennium being God's seventh of rest, God made man the last day, which was the last 6,000 years. If God, the Spirit, has come to make man, and if the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever, is making man according to man's believing in it, then some people have the feeling that they are a Judas. Now I want you to listen. God lets man do everything. Death came by man, the resurrection comes by man. Some people have the feeling that they are a Judas. They can't shake it off. It's with them all the time. Some people have a fearful looking for the coming of the judgment. Some people have thoughts that they have betrayed, or somewhere down the road that they're going to betray. Some people have feelings that they are really a hypocrite. Some have the feeling that they're not really serving God, that they're making believe. And among the people, there is all kinds of thoughts, all kind of believing. And that believing is changing them into whatever image their believing will produce. That's why that we've got to keep a clear conscience. That's why we can't consider ourselves smart or intelligent. We've got to be humble, full of charity, sweet, understanding, to keep the believing. Because in your head, if you believe, you believe a lie and be damned. With your heart, man believeth unto righteousness. So then with the believing of the heart, man is changing himself by means of evolving into an everlasting image of the Son of God, or into an image of the devil himself, according to his believing. While they hypocrite around, they think they're escaping. While they do these little things on the side, they don't know that it affects their believing. And they don't understand that God, in His almighty power and understanding, has so destined man to where his believing is the determining factor of his destination. That you've got to be full of love. You've got to be full of sweetness, full of melodies. You can't have any hypocrisy. You can't cut any corners. You can't think any bad thoughts. The Bible said casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. The Bible said, David said, even forgive me for the intents of my heart, God. So then, it is a fearful time. The man child, the woman on the moon, being caught up, it's the translation, for Enoch was translated by faith. And the Bible said, God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. We are hid with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received until the millennium, the restitution, the restoring of all things. Are you listening? Where are we? Jesus said, Nicodemus, I am in heaven. Who are you tonight? You're the body of Christ, members in particular, flesh of his flesh. Where are you? You are in heaven. You're sitting in the heavenly places. You're not of this world. God has chosen you out of this world. And you are tonight in heaven with Christ. How? By faith. How are you healed? By faith. When the word came, you believed it and you was healed. How can you be saved? By faith. How can the body be redeemed? By knowing that God has appropriated in the beginning justification and sanctification. And the Bible said God has glorified you. Luther, justification. Wesley, sanctification. The day that we're living in, glorification. The spirit, the soul, the body, the three definite works of God. What is it? We're in heaven. What have we done? We have dimensionally evolved and moved by faith until we've moved by means of the word into the world of God. That's exactly what we've done. We have been caught up into heaven. We have been born to travail. God has caught us up into his own mind. And that mind is the third dimension. It is heaven. And while the world sits around waiting for some abnormal thing to take place, the Bible says that God is changing us from glory to glory into the perfect image of the Son of God. Where are we? Where are we? We are in heavenly places. We have been caught up. Where is Christ? He's the man child. He's in heaven. Where are we? We are with Christ in God who is in heaven. Hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. Now, what does this mean? It indicates that what the Bible said, that we are perfect without spot, wrinkle, and blemish once and for all with the offering up of Christ, sanctified and glorified, that we, the inner Christ, has been called into the presence of God. He's been translated to the kingdom of God. And the ministry was to make his faith perfect by telling him his benefits. And he was to believe through his purification and justification. Whereas we've come to, and listen to this now. The Bible said Noah was a perfect man, Brother Godwin preached the other night. We have come to the mount wherein the spirit of just men, justified by faith, the spirit of just men, justified by faith, the spirit of just men are made perfect. Therefore, we are perfect even as the Father in heaven is perfect. So then, the spiritual inner man, once he accepts the fact that he's in heaven, that he's been translated, that he's been caught up, and when he thoroughly settles it in his heart, then the change of the body, which is the bringing in of the Jews, in that Paul said the casting away of them at Calvary meant the reconciling of the world to the Gentiles, but that when the days of the Gentiles is over, then will come the Jews again, which means redemption of the body, the resurrection of the dead. And right now, God is turning back to the Jews. Brother Branham said he saw this place blown up by 77, which means there's got to be a quick work of the rapture, the translation, the unveiling, the catching away, and then with this comes the fireworks. So then we also know that that any governments never lasting over 200 years, and in 76 we know that it means the end of the 200 years, that there is another power that's coming in, which is the red dragon power. Now, that means that we are on the verge of the change which will come in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye, according to Thessalonians, at the last trump. And the last trump is His trump. His trump. The voice of many waters. For He shall come with the trump of God. Listen. This is a fearful moment. A very fearful time. At this very point. Or at this very moment. There's something that is taking place. And the last trump is coming or getting ready to break forth. The redemption of the body. This is a little group of people. But the world out yonder is waiting for this message to go to them. And just as they have preached deliverance by sending His word and healing them to get the people to believe it. My brothers and sisters, when they believe this, it's going to change their body. And I say to you again, it becomes an intellectual indoctrination of a message from a preacher. And then when they believe it by faith, God transfers it to the heart. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, or translation, the moment, the twinkling of an eye, the change, it's coming. So then it's up to us to take an indoctrination to them concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's up to them to believe, and they that are not the seed of Cain, they will believe. For as many as were ordained unto eternal life, Paul said, believe. They will not be any of them lost. All that you've given me, I'll raise them up in the last day. So then it's a fearful hour. It's a great time. You've got a responsibility. I've got a responsibility. And I want to do my best, don't you? Let's stand together. Now, I appreciate your patience. I never intended to hold you that long tonight. God apparently intended it before we ever come here. But I didn't intend to do that. I intend to talk with you just a little bit. But you were such a good audience and listened till I felt that God wanted me to go ahead and do that. And I hope that we've said something tonight that can help you in your Christian experience. If it's been enlightening to you, may God bless you. If it hasn't, will you pray for me and ask the Lord to help me to be enlightened? The Bible said, God enlightening our understanding that we might be able, the eyes of our understanding, that we might be able to comprehend the heights and the depths, the width, to see always the things God the Spirit does. So, while we sing this little song, Jesus, Use Me, I'd like for us to examine ourselves. The Bible said, examine yourselves, see if you be in the faith. And let's just examine ourselves tonight, see if we're in the faith, see if our believing is anchored in the Word of God, or if it's anchored in the tradition of men, or what somebody has told us, or in the things that the elders had tutored us in. Brethren, let's see where our faith is tonight. The rapture is taking place, and Enoch was translated by faith. There's got to be a faith that will translate you. It's called the faith. It only comes from the mind of Jesus Christ. And we're to contend till we get it. So then, let's see tonight if we've got the God faith, if we're making believe, or if we're really believing in the Word that can translate us. Faith by the hearing of the Word, the message, or the Word of the hour that can translate us. You've got to know something to believe it. You've got to know that by His stripes you're healed to be able to believe it and be healed. You've got to wit the redemption of the body. The Scripture says to be witty. Wisdom findeth out witty inventions. To be witty, Paul said, to wit the redemption, that is to come to the acknowledgement or understanding that it was appropriated in the foreknowledge of God as well as the other. To come to the age to wit it, that is come to the age of the message or understanding of it, because you can't believe it till you know it. So if we know it, then if we believe it, then we are the raptured sons of God. If we know it and do not believe it, then it has become judgment upon us, and the darkness has overtaken us, and we are cut off eternally. Let's sing this song together, can we? Jesus, use me. Oh Lord, don't
refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you.
Can you sing it with me?
Oh, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. For though the cross be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's my Holy Ghost baptizer, everything to me. For he has washed and he hath made me whole.
Sing it again.
Oh, Jesus, use me.